Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
WC Football Talk. Danny and I are here. We were going to come in and recap all of week, not all of week five, but a good portion of it. But we got really have to change gears immediately as we both have Monday Night Football on our respective television sets. And the breaking news of the night is that John Gruden is out as the Las Vegas Raiders head coach. Obviously, for those of you who don't know, there was emails that came out where Gruden used racist, misogynistic, homophobic language directed at certain players, owners, Demora Smith, et cetera. This is just a crazy developing situation that, like, Danny and I were just talking about it off air. The NFL did the right thing here because if they kept him employed, it just looks like a black stain on the league.
Yeah, bro. You know, of course, this is going on with the Raiders. You know, they never seem to get out of their own way. But, you know, you kind of expected this to come out when the original email was released. What was that, Saturday or something? Saturday or Sunday?
Friday or Saturday.
Okay, yeah. So you knew the pressure was coming down. Maybe he was able to get out of it, but like he probably shouldn't have. But tonight, yeah, that was the nail in the coffin tonight. And apparently, there's more too. So we'll see if they come out.
I feel like too, but even I got to pull up a post because obviously the first one came out, I believe, from the New York. It was either the New York Times or the New York Post. And there is a reporter who does sports media work. I don't know if you know him or not, Danny. Andrew Marchand.
No.
He works for the Post. He does media columns and stuff. And the point he had really good was he quote tweeted Adam Schefter about 10 minutes ago. And he said, uncovered implies the NFL didn't want these out there. It's like how I said the whole black stain on the league. And I kind of agree with him. I feel like the NFL knew about this. It's just one of those things, once word leaks, it's like they have to cover their tracks to make their image look good.
Yeah, no, of course. And my thing is, you know, if he's talking to Dan Snyder like this, he clearly feels comfortable enough to use this kind of language and shit. So how does Dan Snyder really, like, talk behind closed doors, too? So they should definitely, you know, uncover everything if they're going to just uncover his part of this.
Yeah, Jesus. Between this and the Urban Meyer stuff, it's just – hasn't been the best week for NFL coaches, but you're right. They got, like, the Dan Snyder thing too has been another black stain on the league where it's just like, okay, what's going to come out of there? Because I feel like the NFL picks, this is the problem I feel like the NFL's had for years. They will pick and choose their battles to when it comes to certain things. Like, for example, I'm going to go to Patriots example, like the whole Spygate, Deflategate, how the tape, you can even read up on this too, the whole how the tapes were just apparently destroyed and everything, and nothing came out of that. And then there was the whole Deflategate stuff with Tom. But then you had stuff like even the Ray Rice stuff, how that was way too late. And then now you have this, which they're proacting on, which I feel like that's the always bad thing about the league. They pick and choose what battles they want to fight when it comes to the whole negative the stuff that causes a negative image on the league.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the Raiders and the NFL haven't had the best relationship historically. So, like, again, it doesn't surprise me that it's happening to the Raiders, but you know, there's other teams out here doing shit like this that you'll never hear about. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like you said, they pick and choose what battles they want to fight and what pipelines they want to go down.
Oh, no, for sure. Like, you got to imagine, like I wouldn't be shocked if language like this is used across, like, not every single owner or coach, but or every, like, all the time. But I wouldn't be shocked if there's, like, a history of, like, various owners, various coaches, GMs using language of that extent. That you're right, we'll just never know about because it never gets out there. It's just once a reporter catches wind of this, they're going to go to the league and say, look, we got this. We are not afraid to release this. And so the NFL has to kind of crumble. And then by getting rid of Gruden, the NFL looks like this. The NFL, it makes the NFL look good in the sense of,
oh, well, absolutely,
we had this problem, we squash it. But you're right, though, because that's the one thing a lot of people got to remember is that Al Davis was the first real rogue owner in the league where he was like, no, fuck you. I'm going to do things my way.
Yep. So, I mean, there's not much to say, but, you know, like if more emails come out and it looks even worse, you know, good for the NFL for stepping in and letting him, you know, have him resign his job and stuff like that. You obviously, there's no place in that for the league and the locker room, stuff like that. No one's going to, you know, he lost all credibility, But, you know, if stuff like this is out there and there's and it's accessible and people know about it, you know, like step forward, man. Don't pick and choose what you're going to release and what you're not going to release. You know, I know it's blackballing in a sense, but, you know, let's be fair with it.
Exactly. And I feel like, too, this it'll be one of those things with him where either I can't see Gruden back at the Raiders, but it wouldn't shock me that if in a few, like in a couple seasons, he's either back on TV in some capacity or he's like here doing this. Like, let's take a good example, Michael Vick, who obviously went to jail for the dogfighting. He's an analyst on Fox now. So like for as much to as bad stuff like this happens, the NFL hasn't ever been afraid to give second chances out to certain people. And like, I feel like Gruden will be back in some capacity in a few years. It's just for the next little while, he's got to lay low and just, you know what, not do anything. And now I'm not condoning that it's going to happen. I'm just saying, look, I wouldn't be shocked if you see this by, like, say, the 2023 season.
I mean, personally, me, I can't see it happening. I don't, you know, just the way into that today's time and age, like, it's going to be very hard to recover from something like this. But, you know, more shocking things have happened. So I just don't see it personally.
Yeah, and I mean, too, he'll be getting a bag still for the next few seasons from the Raiders anyway. He's only
he's set for
18,
life.
19, 20.
He's got generational wealth. He's good.
Yeah, he's got four seasons. He's still got $60 million that the Raiders got to pay him. So I feel like he'll be fine. I was just saying that in the sense, like, no, I'm not here, like, trying to play good cop, bad cop with the whole situation. I'm just saying, like, look, there's just parts of it. I do think, you're right. This is going to be a hard thing for him to clear his image up. But at the same time, too, look, he's got generational wealth to where if he goes away and does nothing for the rest of his life, it's not like it's a huge concern for him.
I agree.
And this is something too, I'm going to say from a playing standpoint, man, this could derail their season because they got off to a good start, but then last week against they lost to the Chargers on Monday Night Football. And then yesterday had the upset against the Bears. The Bears beat them. So we'll see where this goes with the Raiders, who I believe play the Broncos this Sunday.
Yeah, no, I was texting with Mikel actually just before we hopped on too. And I was like, yeah, man, I really don't see how you guys are going to recover from this. Like, I did not buy into the Raiders at 3-0 at all. You know, I tweeted that. But, you know, now with this dark cloud hanging over their season, you know, I just don't – this is what crumbles teams, you know, and this is just what takes your season off of off the train rails. So it's going to be a very hard situation to recover from. Maybe they'll do their best. Maybe they sneak into a wild card. I doubt it. But, you know, I think the way Mark Davis is he's a very impulsive owner. You know, he's going to pull the shock move. And like I just said before, I really would not be surprised if they, you know, mortgaged their future and went and traded for Rodgers or Russell Wilson next year, just to, you know, just to like move the image off of the situation.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree with you. I was just looking at that because like this now just like puts a big stain on just like the season. I know stain's like the word of the day. This just puts a stain on their season for like going forward because I want to pull up their schedule because I was even saying to myself earlier today, I was like, you know what? They had a Thanksgiving matchup against the Cowboys, which I'm like, yo, that doesn't look like exactly a bad game. Now, can they recover from this? Yes. But for right now, we'll have to wait and see for them. But I'm just going to give me a second, folks. Like I said, yeah, next week they go to Denver, then they play the Eagles, then they have a bye, then they got the Giants, the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, the Bengals, and then the Cowboys. And then that basically is the rest of their October and November. So they have some winnable games in there. It's just a matter now, too, who's going to coach the team and what's going to happen. Because like you have to look at this from a football standpoint, too, where it's not only, hey, do they get had a coach have to resign, but at the same time, too, who's going to take over. And also, I think this could save Mike Mayock in a sense, because I feel like if they admit it's the playoffs, I feel like Mayock would have been the scapegoat and they would have got rid of him.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at the Raiders, you know, they're lucky to be 3-2. You know, I think they should have lost that week one game, but you give them the win, they won the game, you know, after that, all those blunders and stuff like that. But, you know, they're a 3-2 football team. You know, it wouldn't shock me for them to lose to Denver. That's, you know, whatever. Denver's not doing too hot either right now, but, you know, we'll see. But if they lose to the Eagles and they end up at 3-4, I think this season's going to spiral out of control, personally.
No, exactly. I agree with you on that one. But just moving gears now from Saturday, from this whole thing to what happened yesterday. I know it's a little impromptu or whatever, but I feel like we talked about enough and we can't really say – there's not much more to say. Look, it is what it is. The emails are not language that's accepted in today's world, and that's just the nature of things. But when you were saying teams that you were like, I didn't believe them at 3-0, one other one I got for you, man, is the Denver Broncos. Because if you look at it – 3-0, obviously they beat you guys, they beat the Giants, and then they beat the Jags 0-9 at the time. And then now 3-2. So for them, I'm just like, that's a team whose season is, I think, slowly spiraling.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was buying stock in them early. I really did believe in that defense to be like a legit top five defense. But, you know, Vangio's quickly, you know, losing all momentum that they picked up at 3-0. And, you know, the quarterback situation, although it's not terrible. It's not Drew Lock. It's still like Teddy Bridgewater is so limited. Like, he's such a game manager. And if the defense isn't playing up to a top five level, I don't know if they're able to, you know, stay in games with the amount of points they're going to score each week. They have all the talent in the world. Like I always said, they're just missing that quarterback that will bring them to the next level.
Exactly. That was the thing I was always saying too. Like, if could they get in? I feel like they're going to try to get it this offseason because Drew Lock and it. We saw that when Teddy Bridgewater went down. And then for this week, I feel like it was a bit of a trap for them to and the Steelers in the sense of where it's like, look, the Steelers eventually had to get off the snide after starting the season 1-0 and then obviously losing 3 in a row. I feel like there was a game for them to bounce back. This was the one. But for them, I always said this. If they went 3-2 in the month of October, I'd buy stock. The fact that they're 0-2 right now, if they go lose one more game, which they do have Cleveland and I believe the Cleveland football team and the Raiders, is that a Michael Pittman That is a Michael Pittman touchdown. Sorry.
Yep. Flag's good. No, we're good.
Okay. First Michael Pittman touchdown of the season. You guys got to remember, this is a Michael Pittman stand podcast. The fact that we got to do this during the pod, oh my God.
Let's see if he's down. No, he's good.
What was the penalty?
Maybe. He might be. I don't know. I don't think you can overturn it.
Dude, if that was roughing the passer, what was the penalty? I have it on mute.
No, it was PI on the defense, but I thought his knee might have been down. But no, he's good. They're upholding it.
Oh, no, he's good. Let's see this. Oh, he's crossed. Oh, wait,
Yeah, you could see it, but no, they gave it to him.
Yeah, I remember this from the Detroit game. Yeah, your feet's ahead of me. Remember, folks, Michael Pittman stand podcast here, and that's his first touchdown.
I traded him last week too, bro. Ugh.
Oh, I held on to him, and let's see. So I got to go to my Yahoo app. I was getting the red zone notifications, and there it is. Michael Pittman, man, he's having a good game. 5 receptions, 68 yards for the touchdown.
Yeah, that one gave him all his yardage right there for sure, though.
Yeah.
Good for him, man. Good for him. He needed that.
And also in other news, I think the Rays just tied the ALDS against the Red Sox.
Good shit. Let's go, Rays. Hate them both. Do not want to see the Red Sox go any further than they already are.
It's like the lesser of two evils. I'm just rooting for an NL team at this point, to be honest.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah,
Astros, Red Sox, ALCS, man. Oh my God, that would be so bad.
I wouldn't mind a Sox one. I feel like that'd be kind of awesome. Where it's like just two Sox to go to the play to go to the World Series.
Mm.
Just because it's a funny pun, that's all. Even though I feel like we're gonna get Atlanta and then either or the Giants or Dodgers. I don't really care. I feel like whoever wins, it's gonna be good.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, but moving back to the NFL, this pains me to do, but I got to give props, man. You know, the Buffalo Bills are they're a legit team. They're there's no more like, hey, are we sure about them? Not like, if you're still doubting the Bills, I'm gonna say this right now. Just please stop. And also, man, I got some stuff to say about Kansas City after, but man, I got to give props to where due, man. Buffalo played a great game last night, and also too, Danny, I'm talking about this on Twitter, man. Dawson Knox waiver wire pickup of the season.
Dawson Knox is a top five tight end right now for sure. You know, it kills me because, you know, Buffalo is probably the team I hate the least in the division. It's just I hate their fans. I cannot stand those fans, man. But as far as their football team, you know, yeah, they're damn good. It's still early. It is still early, you know. I'm pretty sure, didn't the Ravens beat the Chiefs early last year as well, if I'm not wrong?
The Chiefs killed the Ravens on Monday Night Football.
Who did they lose to the Chiefs last year? That was a good team that had potential.
They lost to the Raiders.
No, I never believed in the Raiders. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But, you know, it's still early. But, yeah, no, damn. Dude, Buffalo looks damn good, man. Very, very good. They're legit. They're a legit contender. You know, Zach Moss looks a lot better. So, if they have a legit running game to go along with, you know, Rousseau, who's a fucking stud pass rusher that they added, you know, they have a chance.
Rousseau is what they needed. They needed edge. They needed an edge rusher after the last season. I said that's the one weak spot on their team. And Rousseau, man, Rousseau's doing his job. But even, like, I know it pains me to say it, like, to, like, the Bills, like, yeah, like, I respect the team. There's a couple fans that look like I'm cool with. But, like, at the same time, too, yeah, there's, like, teams where I'm just like, look, they're, at, like, my top of the list that I, for me, not liking just because, like, as I had that bad experience there. And also, well, 13 missed point PATs this week. That's insane.
Unbelievable.
But, but what was I going to say next? But no, like, dude, after last night, like, I'm going to say this right now, too. Dude, the Kansas City Chiefs, this might be a hot take. I can't see them going to the Super Bowl, man. They've had all but one game where they've allowed more than 30 points. I'm sorry. Like, I feel like the Chiefs this year are, well, I'm not saying they're, like, the same team, but they're like the Dallas Cowboys before Dak got hurt last year. You know, where if Dak and the offense do enough to win, they're going to win games. But then the defense has to, like, the defense, if the defense slacks and the offense has an off day, they're going to lose. That's where I'm trying to get at with this Chiefs team.
Yeah, as of right now, yeah, I still think they do something at the trade deadline. Honestly, I think they'll if there's a star guy on the deadline, you know, I think this is the year they'll, you know, give up a first round pick and get that guy. But it's still early, like I said, man. Like I'm not writing the Chiefs off in week five at all. Their defense doesn't look good early, but I think it gets cleaned up. It's only up from here, honestly. And I mean, if Gilmore would have hit the open market, you know, he would have been a Chief today. So thank God you guys traded him to the Panthers instead of letting him pick a team to go to.
Yeah, we got something. We got something. I'll get into that in a little bit. But I'm not writing off the Chiefs right now. I'm just saying, like, look, they're 1-4 against the spread. Like, I'm in a spread pool with my dad. He does, and I've told him every single week, do not pick. The only week I told him to pick the Chiefs to cover, I think, was the Ravens game and the Eagles game, because I was like, look, they'll beat the Eagles. But week one, I picked the Browns to cover. Week three, I picked the Chargers to cover. Yesterday, I picked the Bills to cover. And also, I had Bills money line. I thought the Bills were going to win that game because this season's been a lot about teams getting the monkeys off their back. Like, we saw it, the Ravens beating the Chiefs. And then we saw the Bills, and we saw the Cardinals and the Rams. And then the next one I still think is if the Browns have to beat the Ravens at some point if they truly want to win the division. But no, you're right. Like, the Chiefs are going to figure it out. It's just, when you're letting up 30 plus points a game, it's just tough for me to think, look, that this team can go all the way. Of course, they'll find a way and they'll be there in January. I'm not saying they're a right off team. I'm not saying they're going to be this bad team. Like, next week, they have the football team. I fully expect them to bounce back and win. But when I know they still have to play, like, the Cowboys, the Cowboys and the Packers at some points this season, they still have to play the AFC West, which, who knows at this rate, with, like, the Raiders and the Broncos, because they almost beat them last year, and that was with bat worse teams. It's just they're going to have to find tricky ways or go on a roll, which, look, I honestly don't doubt that they'll do. I'm just saying, I think Chiefs fans are starting to realize, look, it's not always sunshine and rainbows.
No, of course. And it's very hard to get to the Super Bowl 3 years in a row, man. That's I don't even know. Have you guys even ever done that?
No, we did 3 and 4 years. And then we did 3 years. We did 2016, where we beat Atlanta. 2017, we lost to the Eagles. And then 2018, where we beat the Rams. So we did three years in a row, but we did win loss.
But in that whole time period where you guys were going, you know, like, look how hard it was to go back 3 years in a row. So, like, it's, you know, it's not a guarantee. For sure. But like I said, I want to see the deadline first. I want to see what happens in November, December, and then I think we'll have a better opinion. But if it comes down to that rematch in the AFC Championship, like we just saw last night, you know, the Bills just proved they can go to Arrowhead and they can win. And that's a very hard thing to do. So, you know, they definitely built momentum.
And also, too, if they meet up again in January, that game is in Buffalo. So that changes things huge. Like, I know Danny and I said, we're not a fan of Bills Mafia, but we know that, look, Bills Mafia brings a different element, and that changes things completely for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to win in Buffalo in January, man.
100%. As Hollywood Brown actually makes a catch for once in his life. But no, moving on now. One other game. I know you slept during the 4 o'clock hour, but man, I already got to say a good game of the year candidate, LA versus Cleveland. Another game. I tweeted this out. I'm like, we have to see this again in January.
Yeah, no, I caught up on all the, I watched all the highlights, you know, I didn't miss anything. But Justin Herbert, man, holy shit. Man, if you're I know Big Rat's take is you know, everyone loved Tua, blah blah blah. But you know, Stephen Ross originally wanted Tua. I mean, not Tua, wanted Herbert, and they went the other direction. So he's got to be killing himself right now for that. That kid looks like a bona fide stud, bro. Him and Charges are legit, man. The Charges are legit. I can see them being in the position Buffalo was last year, possibly getting into the championship game, but losing. They're just firing on all cylinders right now. I mean, their defense gave up a shitload of points, yeah. But they can sustain with anyone, you know, as far as scoring points.
I mean, the fact that their game was very back and forth, it's not like, you know, that the Browns went up huge early and then the Chargers had them out this comeback. The fact that it was basically a chess match where it was like you and I playing Madden on easy mode. Mm-hmm. The fact that it was like that, I think, just shows that, look, I know that they gave up a lot of points, but at the same time, too, when you have shootouts like that in the NFL, and then you literally, I thought it was going to come down to the missed kick when Viscanzo missed that kick to make it 42-41, and then the Browns couldn't convert and then got the touchdown. I thought, I'm like, all right, Browns half, point and a half. I'll own up to it, too. I had that really bad tweet exchange where I got my plus and minuses mixed up with the betting line, folks. I know. I got called out for that.
I know what you meant.
Yeah. I meant to say plus 3.5 for the Jets. But no, this was a game where, look, both teams kind of showed that they can hang. I feel like, and also I'll say this too, which because it kind of applies to the Chiefs, because it was going back to the Patriots earlier. In 2018, we lost to the Lions on Sunday Night Football in a game I was embarrassed about. And then in December, we had that miracle in Miami happen, which just was, I still say it's a stain. I know Big Rat's probably smiling hearing me say that. But I say this, all teams have to go through adversity. I'm just saying, if the Kansas City Chiefs go on a roll all of a sudden, we'll look at this as it's their time. But that's just another note for another day. That's why I wanted to add that. But no, as it goes to these teams, look, both teams are good. Herbert is a – I've seen people say, like, okay, I don't buy the hype into the Chargers, like, back in August. I was like, no, I always said this team was going to be a playoff team in 2021 if they're healthy. Because, like, look, they have Derwin James back, who's a dog in the secondary. Joey Bosa is playing great defensively. They have some pretty good linebackers. And also, too, man, Keenan Allen, Austin Ekeler – Mike Williams all look great. And also, too, man, Jared Cook's looking really good at tight end.
Yeah, Mike Williams is the guy, man. This guy, you know, he was drafted to be this, and he's finally living up to what he's been drafted to do, probably, and some. Like, ridiculous games. You know, I know he didn't really do much last week, but, you know, every other game, he's been just a stud, bro. So I think that's the X factor with the Chargers. Ekeler looks awesome as well. And like you said, yeah, Jared Cook is a nice find for them. He's been around forever, but you know, he's really having probably one of his best seasons there too. So they're a very, you know, it's a pick your poison team, and those teams are very hard to stop and beat.
No, exactly. And the one other thing I wanted to say, I'm just going to move gears here. Question I have for you, Arizona Cardinals, contender or pretender?
Oh, I'm going to say,
Danny, what? I hate to cut you off, but it's just see on the TV right now. Raiders assistant coach Rich Bekaccia is expected to replace John Gruden as the interim coach per Susie Colbert. So that's just something, wow. I want. That's just
Miguel wanted Tom Cable. That's crazy. As far as the Cardinals, I think the NFC is a lot more open this year than people think. So I'm going to say contender. I'm going to say contender as of today.
Sorry, folks. I'm in the same boat. I always said the Cardinals were going to be that team. I thought, personally, I have the Rams still winning the division. I think at the end of the day, the Rams are still a better complete team. The Cardinals, who losing Max Williams, I don't know if he saw his knee. His knee just bent away where you look at it and you're like, yeah, that's not supposed to go that way. Mm-hmm. But no, they look good, man. DeAndre Hopkins still a baller. James Conner's having a huge bounce back year for them at running back. Their defense is finally figuring things out. I feel like the Cardinals, they know what they have to do, but at the same time, too, the fact that they're not putting this enormous pressure on them, they're just going out there and playing. And I still have Kyler in the MVP conversation, but if you had to ask me right now for two, I have to say Kyler and Herbert.
Yeah, yeah, it's close right now. It's definitely close. But no, also Rondell Moore, the receiver they drafted in the second round, has been a complete stud.
Great
for them
touchdown
too.
Yesterday.
Yeah, been a complete stud for them as well. You know, if they're another team, man, if they can just continue to put up points the way they're doing. I know yesterday Kyler didn't have his greatest game, but he's still a stud. If they continue to, you know, have shootouts, you know, I think I'm gonna bet on them to win that shootout. So I think they definitely have a chance this year in the NFC.
Look for one this coming Sunday as they go to Cleveland to play the Browns. That's a sneaky good game in the 4 o'clock window.
The Browns need that game too.
Yeah, the Browns need the game, and then also too, week eight Thursday night football, Cardinals and Packers.
Wow, so, that's games. A good one too. Yeah,
I was also saying this too, and I'm gonna get to this. We're gonna go to this team next. So this coming Sunday, it is the Seahawks and the Steelers on Sunday night football. Man, if I'm the NFL, I don't know how you don't flex out for Browns Cardinals. You like, because like I'm looking at that Steelers Seahawks game, and like for the first time this year, I see a primetime game, and I'm like, yo, I have no desire to watch this. Like, I know we had Panthers Texans and then Jags and Bengals, but at least those are the ones where they're like, look, hey, they could be a little bit exciting. Like this one, I just have like no desire for, especially with Wilson being out.
Yeah, no, I mean they dropped the ball week one with Sunday Night Football. This is another one. I'm tired of seeing the Steelers in primetime games, man. They're an old team. We all know that. You know, they're not special anymore. They're boring, and you know, no Russell Wilson on the Seahawks. No one wants to see Geno Smith on Sunday night. So they got to figure out a way, you know, in these early season Sunday night games, how to flex them out, because they're only hurting themselves with the ratings.
I'm pretty sure we're in the flex period now. I believe it was I'm pretty sure it started either week five or week six. So like they gotta like look at it and have like potential backups for like, hey, what can happen if this and this happens? Like I'm still saying that right now, like for the Cardinals, like look, put that Cardinals Browns game in Sunday Night Football. Cause look, that's a game that's gonna get eyeballs because everyone's gonna wanna see what Baker and Kyler do. Cause like I fully expect that game to be a shootout, but at the same time, too, Steelers, Seahawks could be sneaky good, but like it's like Danny and I both said, man, Seahawks ain't making the playoffs this year, and I think our point's being proven a little bit further, unfortunately. I only say that because of the injury. Like, you don't want them to go down an injury, but if you look at that, like, let's just look at that Seahawks for a second, because I saw the tweet today from Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus, former guest of YWC Football Talk, and I saw you retweet it about how you have their 2022 first-round pick. Elijah Vera Tucker grading pretty well so far for pass protection.
Top rookie grade of the year so far.
Looking pretty good. Because that's the other thing I'll say about the Chargers, too, is Rashawn Slater has looked really good this year. But Vera Tucker, man, a lot of these rookie offensive linemen are getting the work done, except for Alex Leatherwood. But, oh, man, I just had to take that dig. I still despise that draft pick at every chance I get. But, no, with the Seahawks, it's just bad luck. But at the same time, too, like, you're probably smiling ear to ear because you're like, look, just get us that pick.
Oh, Lamar, come on.
All right, I'm behind, but I'm going to – I can't wait to see what happens. I don't mind. I still remember the Christmas episode last year when you were ahead of the Big Rat.
Big Rat, yeah.
He was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had fantasy sixth line. What the fuck was that?
Yeah, very bad, very bad. John Harbaugh's face is hilarious.
Man, I had the
Colts aren't dead yet, man.
I had the Ravens to cover.
Oh no. What was the question again, bro?
Oh, you got to be smiling about this whole Seahawks situation because they're right
oh
now
my God.
Out in the NFC West.
I said it, man. I said, you know, the dark cloud is over the Seattle Seahawks this year. I wouldn't be surprised if Russ got hurt. I'm pretty sure I came on here and said that. You know, they've been ignoring O-line for so long, even though the O-line, you know, it was a freak injury. But, Geno Smith was a hot shot last week. You know, obviously teams weren't prepared for him to come in and do what he did. But now that they start, you know, scheming for him and game planning for him and see what he really is, you know, he's not going to really do anything. I don't believe. He could prove me wrong, you know, maybe. But, so I expect them to lose most of those games that Geno plays, and then Russ is going to come back. And unless he has, like, a historic or a heroic crazy run, and their defense magically gets fixed overnight and they learn how to stop teams, and Jamal Adams actually plays like someone who's worth two first rounders and a third rounder, you know, for your team to trade for, because they thought he was the final piece in their team. You know, I think you can safely write off the Seahawks. And I know it's early, I know it's week five, but, you know, they're going to take, how long is Russ is out? It's 4 to 6 weeks or whatever. So say he's out 6 weeks, they go, we'll say 2-4. That's, what is that, 7 losses almost already?
2-4 would take them to 4-7. So they
Russ would have to run the table. Probably not happening. Get me in the top 10, you know, with that draft pick. I'm all for that.
Because if you look at their schedule coming up, they go to the Steelers, then they play the Saints on Monday Night Football, then they go to Jacksonville, that's probably a dub, but then they, after their bye week, they play the Packers and the Cardinals and the football team.
Yeah.
That's November stretch. If Russ isn't back or not playing well, that could easily be 0-3. Like, I'm sorry to do this, Alex Larson, but stuff ain't looking good for the 12s.
Yeah.
I want to focus now on your game yesterday. I know obviously you guys lost. I had you guys on the spread +3.5. What did you see from the game and everything? And also too, I'm going to say this right now, man, Franklin Myers, well-deserved payday.
Yeah. Very slept on player in the league. I know I was arguing with a couple people on Twitter. It was like, who's that? Blah, blah. Like, it's not nobody else's fault, but yourself for being a casual and not knowing, you know, Franklin Myers is a stud. Thank God Sean McVay, I don't know what the hell Sean McVay was doing when he cut him. I guess they tried to sneak him onto the practice squad, but JD claimed him. He was out for that first year, and then last year he was balling, and then this year, you know, he's on pace for double digit sacks. So very, very smart move to lock him up early, because the price tag after the season would have been a lot more. You know, and God forbid it does fail, you know, you have an out in the contract after the second year. So, and you know, that's one of the perks of not paying Sam Darnold. You know, you can retain your team, and you can you're able to pay your guys, because if you're giving Sam Darnold, who looked awful, by the way, yesterday, you know, if you pay him his 30 to 40 mil, you know, you're not able to make moves like this. So, very good move by JD to lock him up. But as far as the game yesterday, you know, it's just I think, you know, unless our defense, you know, the way the offense has been coming out, you know, in these first halves is ridiculous, man. You got to get this shit cleaned up by the bye week. We have, like, I think it's a total of 9 first half points the whole season, which is ridiculous. But they're a completely different team in the second half. So if they start piecing this shit together, man, and they play like the way they're playing in the second half, they're going to, you know, be able to win some football games. But like I said, they're the youngest team in the NFL. I keep saying it. I'm not expecting a lot of wins. I just want to see progression from Zach Wilson and the players on the team that actually are going to be here in the future. But, you know, I don't know if it was the London part. I don't know what it was, but, you know, that they just it seemed like they didn't get off the plane in the first half, and that was it. And they couldn't recover from that, because if the defense got the stop there at the end, and or at least just held them to a field goal, you know, we would have had a chance. But, you know, the defense couldn't stop anything all day. So, you know, I just chalk it up as a loss. The Falcons were the better team. And, you know, we go into the bye. We try to fix what's clearly wrong on the team. And, we go to Gillette, and then we see what happens. I don't care about the winner or the loss in Gillette. I just care, like, Zach Wilson can't come out and throw 4 picks like he did week 2 against Hugh Rives.
No, exactly. And also, Joseph, I'm looking at the replay right here. It looks like the ball just comes out as his knees hitting the ground, so I think the touchdown's going to stand. But, no, I agree with you. Like, with you guys, it's one of those things where it's just, look, you got to show progression. You got to show stuff. Salah's a very interesting coach. I feel like he plays it safe, like, at first, but then when he has to, like, get it going, that's when he gets kind of reckless. So I feel like sometimes you have to do that, like, I'm not saying reckless in the sense of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Reckless in the sense of you do go out there and do stupid things, but reckless in the sense of, like, you know what, do something, not reckless, unconventional.
Yeah, no, and I don't really know if he's not playing call playing. But, you know, Ulbrich, he's just being predictable, man. Like the way you beat our team is through screens because we're bringing pressure to your face every time. And if the pressure doesn't get there, people are open in the secondary and it's easy completions. Like, I don't know how many times I've seen third and plus, 10 plus, you know, get converted this year already. And it's so frustrating, man. Like, they rush five or more every time. And if the pressure doesn't get there, like, it's a completion, it's a first down, and you shoot yourself in the foot. But, you know, we still haven't even had an interception. We're the only team without an interception this whole year. So, I mean, I don't know, man. We got to see progression. I think Salah needs to stop being Mr. Nice Guy, because that's just going to wear out thin. I mean, I know the win last week, which was awesome, helped out a lot for the morale of this team. But, you know, I feel like you just gave back all that momentum with this loss. You know, Jet fans are so irrational and they're just going crazy and they have all these fucking hot takes. And last week they were talking like, oh, this is how we get to the playoffs. So very bipolar fan base. I know that. But, you know, like I said, man, you have this bye week to self-evaluate, try to get better. And if you come back with the same shit, it's a real problem, in my opinion. Very real problem.
Yeah, you're right. Like, look, week two, like, Wilson, I feel like Wilson, he was making rookie mistakes to where I even noticed, who's it that I noticed it with yesterday? Davis Mills. I noticed it with Mills, which we'll talk about that. I got a lot to say. Where you do something to where I'm like, only a rookie quarterback would do that. And what Wilson did week two is he did a lot of panic where he didn't throw the ball. He just chucked it up in the air to get rid of it when in reality, you got to learn either look. Just take the sack or get it out of bounds. Because if you do that, you're going to preserve it. Meanwhile, if you don't, that's when you make silly mistakes that, you know what, end up costing your team the victory. Like what happened when the Patriots went into MetLife and beat the Jets 25-6.
Yeah, no, I mean, Wilson's playing a million miles per hour right now. He needs to just settle down, hit his easy throws. He's missing his easy throws. He's short arming them. You know, I don't know if you saw anything from last night or yesterday morning, but it was a wide open screen pass. Yeah, wide open screen pass. Two of them, actually. But the one I'm talking about literally just floats the ball and hits it in the O lineman's helmet. Like, there was room there to run. Probably could have got in and made potentially scored. But, you know, he just needs to settle down, man. He's got happy feet right now. He wants to go for the kill. And you just got to, you know, you got to take what the defense gives you and make the throw, man. You know, the O-line isn't an excuse anymore. The O-line's been playing very well, you know, compared to week one, week two. But, you know, like I said, man, all I could say is self-evaluate and let's see what happens week seven.
They have been playing well. The other guy who's been playing really well for you guys the last couple of weeks is Corey Davis.
Corey had a good game last week, but I've been pretty disappointed with him, man. He's not helping Zach out. Like, there's been a couple of really bad drops where, you know, we paid you to be the number one guy. You want to be the number one guy. You think you're the number one guy, and you're just not making the play to be the number one guy. So, you know, if you're the reason why Denzel Mims, who is a fucking supreme talent, in my opinion, can't see the field, you need to make every play, you know. I'm not asking you to go and do an Odell Beckham, you know, one-handed catch down the sideline. But if the shit hits your hands, you got to catch the ball, man. Got to catch the ball.
Yeah, like, I'm just saying, from the sample size that I've seen from Corey Davis, he's looked okay.
But yeah, no, he hasn't been bad. Let's go, Jonathan Taylor. Thank you. But he hasn't been bad. It's just like, Zach is so locked in on Corey right now. And, you know, he's hitting Corey, but Corey's just, you know, a lot of plays he's leaving out on the field. So, but the guy I've been impressed with on offense is Michael Carter. I think, you know, I think he's going to, over the second half, I think he's going to really start to make a little bit of noise. He just, you know, he's passing the eye test for me. Like, he's shifty, he's hard to get down, you know, for a little guy, too.
And so, I know you already said it, but Jonathan Taylor, too, finally having the breakout game this year.
Yeah, I needed this for sure.
Dude, everyone was calling him RB1. Like, he was going top 10 in all fantasy drafts that I was a part of. So the fact he's finally, like, there's a lot of guys this week for fantasy who are finally showing their potential. Like him, obviously Herbert had a huge week. Eckler had a huge week. Mike Evans finally.
Oh, Carson Wentz.
Like, they didn't get to?
You'll see.
Okay. All right. It's all good. I'm going to move on now and talk about my game, because for some really bizarre reason, my team, the Patriots, love to give me fucking heart palpitations in Houston. I don't know what it is. It's the second time we've called. Oh, yeah, that's not a good play.
Ugly.
And he missed a tackle too with that was not good. But it's still 19 points though. But yeah, if the Lamar Jackson gets something going, it's going to be a bad time. My thing with yesterday was, like, I was just so ready to come on here and just put the Patriots on blast completely, but they found a way to get something done. They found a way to go out there and get the win. Bill Belichick said in the post game in the locker room, all they needed was 30 minutes of football, and that's what they did. Mac Jones, man, I'll say this. I'm not expecting a lot this year. I thought maybe. I know I predicted us to go to the playoffs. The kid can ball. The kid, under pressure, doesn't get phased. Sure, he had a couple of mistakes yesterday. He threw the pick. Davis Mills looked like a fucking top five pick yesterday, which just completely blew my mind. But at the same time, too, I feel like the Houston Texans, they got too comfortable when they were up 22-9. And then after there, they kind of took the foot off the gas, and then their defense kind of like stopped playing as intensely. And then also, too, their offense, especially their line, took too many bad penalties on third down that were simple, like holding or just hands to the face. I think it was mainly holding, though, or false starts on third down that you simply cannot do in the NFL. If they had done that, they would have won. Also, the other thing I'll say, too, as well, Kyami Fairbairn, thank you for missing that extra point and I think two field goals, because if it weren't for those, the Patriots would have lost the game. So, you know what? At the end of the day, a win's a win, and I'll take it. But the only other thing I'll say, too, is besides Mac, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith are finally looking good. And, man, I'll still say this, though, the best signing the Patriots did this offseason by far, Matthew Judon.
Yeah, I know you were stressing yesterday. I'm like, relax, bro. It's the Texans. You know, they're not winning this game.
Cautious optimism. Cautious optimism.
Yeah. But, nah, man, I would be a little concerned if I'm a Patriot fan because, you know, like, Davis Mills sucks. I'm sorry. That guy sucks. And for him to come out and put 300 on the Bill Belichick defense, I know you guys settled down and won the game, but that's like, damn, bro, that can't happen. But like I said, you know, obviously you have the better coach, you know, you guys found the way to win, but, you know, like I wouldn't be hyping up this win, like, oh, you know, like, you know, Patriots are back, all this stuff. But, you know, I expect you guys to blow them out. And I picked y'all in Survivor, and I was going to be very, very, very upset if you guys lost that game. So, not really much to say about it.
Why I was angry.
Yeah.
But it was Survival, too. And I got a strike last week. Thank you very much, New York Giants.
Dumbass Texans again, you know, teams like that, like they hit the rough in the passer penalty on Mac, where he clearly threw a pick, where the guy dropped a fucking punt, give me pick in the, you know, in the ice, in another ice drive. So, I mean, we'll see. I still want to see Mac a little bit more before we call him the man. But yeah, definitely needed to win that game, 100%.
I by no means am calling him the man. I'm just saying that also too. I flipped over from baseball to flipped to baseball because it is currently 5-5 in the bottom of the ninth for the Sox. I'm not saying – when I say, like, he's living up to it, I'm just saying there is potential there. What I see on a Mac right now is kind of similar to, like, you know, Josh Allen in, like, 2018, 2019, where we were like, look, the signs are there, but he's still working it out. I'm not coming out here and saying, you know what, yesterday was fantastic. No, like, a win's a win, an ugly win. I remember 2013, there was a game against the Cleveland Browns. We should have lost. But it's just the fact that they found a way to win says a lot. Now, I'm not coming on here and saying we're back and everything. No, I fully expect us to lose this Sunday to the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys are simply a better team. But if the Patriots can manage to get it done against the teams that they're supposed to beat, and then, you know what, maybe steal a win here or there, maybe go 1-1 against the Bills this year, beat a team. Because coming up, we have a really tough stretch where we have to go to L.A., we play Carolina, we play Cleveland, we have Tennessee, we have Atlanta in there, but more than likely the Patriots should win that game. And then we also have the Colts coming, Colts late December after our bye, and also two week 18 against Miami, because we all know New England and Miami is never exactly a cakewalk. So I'm just saying if they can maybe sneak a couple wins here or there, maybe they can get something done. But for right now, look, I'm more focused on just looking at seeing what this team can do positively and how to build on it, because I think next year is the year people should be expecting the Patriots to, you know what, maybe contend for that wild card spot. I still feel like this year I had expectations of a wild card coming in. I think those are being tampered unless they surprise me.
Yeah. And then another thing that pissed me off yesterday with the Texans, man, you guys ran that streak route, that play action streak route over and over and over and over again. And the guy's wide open every time, man. Like, these teams need to adjust, bro. Like, it, like, I literally saw you guys come back with the same route over and over again. But, you know, give credit to Damian Harris. He balled out yesterday as well.
He got hurt, unfortunately, but yes, he did.
So, I mean, we'll see down the stretch, man. We'll see down the stretch.
Also, I'll say this too, Ramondre Stevenson, he was in the doghouse week one after he had the horrible fumble. Because that's the only bad thing about the Patriots running back room too. J.J. Taylor had a fumble against the Buccaneers. Stevenson week one. Harris now has two on the year. If they can get their fumbling problem solved, they'll be fine. But Ramondre Stevenson looks like a little mini LeGarrette Blount to me, where he's just going to go in. He's just going to truck you. He's going to go in there and, you know what, use his body, like just clamp down and get a few extra yards in. But no, with the Patriots, like you, like it's like I said, they for some reason they managed to. I feel like it's like when you overthink something and then you think about it logically and then you just get it right. Like that was the Patriots yesterday with Houston. I don't know what Lovie Smith did to change it up and everything. And also, too, throughout the whole game, their OC just looked stressed the entire time. Like he was like crouching down. He was like worrying. The Texans guy, Tim Kelly. The only thing I'll give them props for, which really pissed me off, was going for it on fourth down so much during the game.
I mean, it's like I said, they're a bad football team. Bad football teams find ways to lose games, you know. Any other team, I'm sure, maybe except for the Lions, would have found a way to close that one out. But, you know, the Texans are going to Texan.
Exactly. The Texans are going to Texan. And that's my whole point about the Patriots. It's just like, look, they found a way. It was really ugly. Like, that's not a game you're proud of. But at the same time, too, look, a dub's a dub no matter how you can take it.
Yeah, you take the win. But I'm just saying, don't be too high about the win. You know?
I'm not. Believe me, I'm not.
But yeah,
that's what it was. The only other thing I'll say here too about some other teams. Let me just look at some other games quickly because there's not a whole lot of other news. Oh, yeah. One other thing I'll say is, man, I feel bad for Detroit Lions fans. That's twice in 3 weeks that you have that happen to you.
Yeah, man. My man's on the podium, fucking crying about it, bro. Like, come on. Dude, it's week five. It's week five. I know you want to win bad. You're gonna get it, but come on, man. Don't come out there and cry to everyone about that.
They're gonna
People are praising him for it. People are feeling so bad for them. Like, come on, man. It's a grown man's league. It's a grown man's sport.
They have the Bengals, the Rams, and then the Eagles. I look at that Eagles game as the chance for them to win. I know Bobby's coming on here in a few days, but if I see a game, because it's going to be that game like you guys against the Titans. I had a feeling that you guys were going to beat the Titans when I saw that Julio and AJ were out. I think
there's trap games all there. There's trap games, especially if the Eagles are winning at that point somehow. You know, like that, like they're due for a trap game. They happen all the time in the NFL. So, I mean, I always said I've stuck to it. I thought the Lions were going to be the number one pick in the draft, but you know, they're being competitive, and that's all you can really ask for.
They're hanging in there. The other note I want to make about yesterday, I think the Bengals, it's the same thing too. It sucks to lose a game like that, but they're, I think, a legit team. They're a team. Now, I think they come back to earth. I think, you know what, they miss. But at the same time, too, this is a season for them where they just have to build off things. The Bengals are right now where I see you guys in a couple years. You know what, maybe they steal a couple games that they're not supposed to win, and then they kind of like, you know, September, October, they're that like nice surprise, but then they start to like kind of cool off as the season goes on.
Yeah, no, they had the win in the bag. They just missed the kick, you know.
The kicker didn't.
I'm buying stock in the Bengals. They're an up and coming team. It would not shock me if they made the seventh wild card. It would not. You know, Ja'Marr Chase is absolutely balling. You know, T. Higgins is back now. He's a stud too. Don't forget about T. Higgins. You also have Tyler Boyd, who's, you know, a security blanket. You know, Mixon was hurt. I think he played a little bit, but and their defense, man, their defense is so improved. You know, that I was against signing Trey Hendrickson, but he's playing very, very well. So
Logan Wilson's another guy.
Yeah, I'm buying stock in the Bengals right now, man. I would not be shocked if they snuck away in at all.
Oh man, Sox with runners on the corners in the bottom of the fifth, in the bottom of the ninth.
What is it? How many outs? What is it on Fox?
It's two. It's one out. Tied at five. Bottom of the ninth. Red Sox with the man on first and third.
What channel is it on?
Fox Sports One.
Fox Sports One.
For me, it's different. For me, it's a channel called Sportsnet. But oh yeah,
yeah, G-Man, I got it right here.
G-Man Choi misfielded the ball. I had to turn off the game because I saw like I can hear my parents downstairs watching the game. So I'm like, all right, something's got to be going on. But folks, that's what it is. It's a football podcast, but we're watching baseball. The only other thing I'll say about yesterday is I think the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not going to be coming out here like the rest of the American media and saying, you know what, hey, crown this team now. But they're going to be there. They're going to be there in January. They're winning the East. I thought.
Yeah, that's actually my hot take of the week, bro.
What?
I think they have a chance this year. I really do. I think they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl this year.
I fucking hate to admit that because there's no fan base I hate worse in the NFL than the Dallas Cowboys fans.
Yeah, man. That you know, Trayvon Diggs is absolutely balling. Their offense is just firing on all cylinders. I think they got a legit chance to you know, I still want to see them beat a couple teams, but you know, they're a legit team right now for sure.
Them versus the Chiefs right before Thanksgiving is going to be like a fucking Big 12 shootout. No matter what the over is, you hammer that over. It's going to be like the, like what happened yesterday in LA.
Yeah. I mean, but they can hang with anyone, bro.
You know what? They honestly can. As did the runner go to, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what their runner did for Boston, but I got to look at their schedule coming up. Cause obviously, like I said, I don't expect the Patriots to beat them. But then they got their bye, and then they go Vikings, Broncos, Falcons. Okay, it's a little easy. That Chiefs, Raiders, Saints stretch from basically – that's a three. That's three games in less than – about three games in 11 days. They come out of that 3-0. Then I'll be starting to say, we'll see you in L.A. But until then, they – like you said, I think they got to beat a dog because the only dog they faced this year so far – like they did beat L.A. They hung in tough with Tampa. Which I think they lost at themselves. When it was a minute 24, I was just like, you gave Brady way too much time to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they played them very well, though.
They did. My other hot take, too, is I still feel like there's a way the Steelers find a way to sneak in the playoffs. I just – they're going to be that team that, you know what, they fuck with you on, like, the spread or money line. Because the two times I bet against them this year, both times they won. So I have to stop betting against the Steelers. I bet – I picked Bills money line week one, and I picked the Broncos to cover 2.5 yesterday. Both did not hit.
Yeah, I don't know about them getting into the wild card, but yeah, they're definitely not. They're definitely not like in the very bad level, but they're like below average to me. You know, they're like a team that's gonna pick from anywhere from like 8 to like 12, 13, something like that.
They're not good enough to contend for a Super Bowl, but they're not bad enough to be a top 10 pick. They're in that – they're. I'm going to say the same thing too, that because Austin Gale said this before on his podcast, and like I said, former guest of this show. They're in that football purgatory that no team wants to be in. And also, too, losing Juju Smith-Schuster hurts a lot, which for him, I feel bad. I know we like to come and kind of cut the guy up for his TikTok stuff, but at the same time, too, man, that sucks going out for the season in a contract here.
On the contract, yeah. Yeah, man.
The Red Sox just fucking walked it off, didn't they? Nope. Oh,
yeah, wow.
Yeah, that the Red Sox are going to the ALCS.
Let's go, Astros. I'd rather see the Astros than these motherfuckers.
I have like a mixed
And that just, that just makes the wild card game sting even more now.
Man, I'm going to say this on a baseball note quickly. I'm going to go back to football. But the Rays, that is now 2 years in a row where, like, silliness has, like, fucked their season. Last year, it was pulling Blake Snell. This year, it was This year, it was that, like, silly little ball out that we thought was a home run, but was a ground rule double. Like, man, the Rays are just cursed. Move that team to Montreal.
To Montreal.
What?
To Montreal. That's funny. Yeah.
Bring them up here. We need a second team.
Cluck it, bro. Yeah, but I was going to also make a point. Tell me Trey Lance to you doesn't look like a clone of Colin Kaepernick. Literally a clone.
He does. I'm going to say this right now. Out of the five quarterbacks, I put it Jones and then Fields for 1 and 2. I know it sounds a little biased, but I think those two have played the best so far. Lance looked like he looked okay yesterday, but that's the other thing too. I don't know if you've seen this. Lynch and Shanahan's record is 31-38 since they've gotten to San Francisco.
Yeah, I did see that. And that's how GMs get fired, bro.
I think the fact that they made a Super Bowl, though, kind of buys them a few years.
It does, but, you know, I just had to point it out that he just looks just like Colin Kaepernick to me.
He's that guy. Like, that's another team, too. Like, man, they're running trickery right now in the Colts. And Lance falls, throws it out of bounds. The only other thing I'm going to say, like, man, the Niners are just a weird team where I feel like right now they're not ready to contend for a Super Bowl, but at the same time, too, they could. They're that team. You just don't know what to expect out of them on a week-to-week basis.
I want to see them finish at least, you know, like with eight, nine wins and, you know, above the Seahawks, obviously. For one reason, obviously, we have the Seahawks pick. For the other reason is that genius GM Chris Greer thought his team would be better than theirs, so he traded his first round pick rather than the 49ers first round pick. So the Miami Dolphins will be drafting where the 49ers end up.
You know what? That's another team too, man. The Dolphins, I know they've been hurt, but man, I thought yesterday, I was like, you know what? Maybe the Dolphins upset the Bucks, but instead they got their asses kicked.
Yeah, Big Rat told me to take their spread. I'm like, hell no, bro. The defense has been a problem all year, man. I mean, Tua is there or not, Tua is not that quarterback where he's going to put up those kind of points on the board. He's just not. So, I mean, we'll see next week when he's back. But, you know, who are they playing this week?
I have to go look. I know the Bucs. We'll talk about the Bucs in a second because obviously they're the next game on the docket for the NFL. But, which folks, Bobby and I will
Miami be. Miami plays Jack. Okay, they play Jacksonville. I'm telling you right now, I got Jacksonville winning their, what is it, their second game or their first game?
Their first game.
I blocked that in. Jags money line.
One spread here, I'm really tempted to take is Rams at 10.5. One I got for you, do you take the Colts at 10 points against the Texans? Do you take the points or no?
Probably, but I wouldn't bet it.
Yeah, I like for my spread pool, I would take the Colts, but that's not going to be on my best bets, which I'm going to go into right now, Danny, because I had a sick 5-team parlay for college football on Saturday.
Alabama fucked you?
Yes. So I had this. I had Oklahoma versus Texas over 65.5 points. I had Michigan State money line hit against Rutgers. I had Georgia money line against Auburn hits. I had to sweat this out, but I had Michigan money line over Nebraska. And then I had Alabama money line.
Jeez.
I
played
a $25 bet. I would have won $170.
Vegas cleaned the fuck up on parlays with Bama fucking losing this week. Clean the fuck up, man. I saw there was the BR betting Twitter. Someone bet $500,000 on a 3-team parlay with all heavy favorites to win $100K, and he lost because of Alabama. Imagine that. $500,000 to win $100,000.
See, that's what I do. I always say this. I always bet what I can afford to lose. I talked to Miguel about this on Saturday because he was asking me, and he also had a lock for me too that hit. I mentioned in my video that he had Hunter Renfro, three receptions, 40 plus yards. He hit it. He had six receptions, 56.
Easy money.
The one
I was the only one in my league to pick the Bears this week. So I'm very proud of that one.
I took the Raiders to cover. I think it was only like about 5.5 points. I thought it was like a pretty simple cover. The one too that I should have bet, but I was kind of pissed I didn't think about this until after you tweeted about it, was betting Tyson Fury to win Saturday night.
Oh my god, I was so drunk at the bar, man. I just found someone who had Wilder. He wanted to put money on Wilder. I'm like, all right, bet. I got Fury. That was a fun fight. That was an awesome fight, man.
You just love to see a two heavyweights just clash, and it was awesome. But no, that's my story. So this Sunday, I'm like kind of tempted to take a break from NFL betting and bet college. Because man, you fucking like even the Michigan Nebraska game, I had to sweat it out because Michigan goes up big, Nebraska comes back, takes the lead, Michigan then gets the job done. Like, fuck, man, just the ups and downs. Because here's the other thing too, man. College football is exciting, and then The only other thing I'll say is I had that over. I'm going to say this. If you're betting an over, go Big 12 football every day of the week.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Easy overs.
Agree with that.
Before we wrap up here, I just want to talk to you about Thursday Night Football. Do you see a world where the Eagles upset the Buccaneers after these reports of Brady?
Hell no. Hell no.
You don't see it like last year. Remember Thursday Night Football? Brady and the Bucs went into Chicago and lost to Nick Foles?
No. I don't see it at all. Nope. I think Bucs cover that.
I got to see what the spread is on that. Because I don't think it's
– Eagles had no business winning the game they did against, you know, against the Panthers. You know, if it wasn't for that block punt, you know, it's a different game. But Sam Darnold is Sam Darnold again, people. Stop buying in early. The guy has never had a clutch fucking game-winning drive in his life. And, you know, he panics when everything's not going perfect for him, a.k.a. Christian McCaffrey is not bailing him out. So, you know, maybe he's not the quarterback that everyone thinks he is.
Early bet of the week that I like the over with the Chargers and the Ravens at 50.5 points. I'm taking the Vikings to beat the Panthers. I think the Panthers are kind of hitting a rough patch here. And yeah, you know what? Buccaneers, Eagles, it's a 7-point spread. I'm taking the Bucs and the points.
Yeah. It's easily. Don't even think twice about it.
I will say
unless,
this right now.
You know, the only thing that's gonna fuck you is some garbage time you know, backdoor cover with Jalen Hurts, but I think it's gonna be out of reach, and then you know, it's the potential for garbage time is there to cover. But do you never buy a half a point?
I've never done that before too. No, I've heard about doing that where you can buy the half point. I'd consider buying 6.5.
Yeah, that would be smart to do. I mean, the line might even move to 7.5. So if you're planning on betting that,
if the line moves, yeah, I'm gonna say.
How do you bet? You bet online? You want a sportsbook app or something?
Yeah, it's called Bet. So there's two. I have OLG, which is our province's lottery and gaming. It literally stands for Ontario Lottery and Gaming. They mm-hmm. do a thing called, it's called ProLine Plus, but I use an app called Bet99. So basically, I just go in there. You can, okay. Yeah, like I can use IntractPay. I can use fucking Bitcoin if I had any. But yeah. So I just go in there and I do it. But the options for there, it's just the straight up like. Money line spread over under. I got to figure out how to do the whole buying points, or even you were talking about like the pushing,
yeah,
and like stuff like that. Like I'm still like, I know I come on here and I give weekly betting advice, and I also do it on TikTok and Instagram, but I'm still trying to get my feet wet. But I feel like eventually, once I hit a stride, I can like, or once I not hit a stride, but like once I hit like a certain system where I figure out what works, I feel like I'll just start constantly winning. It's just like, I feel like it's one of those unfortunate things you got to keep
up. You're due, bro. You're definitely have you hit a parlay yet or no?
I hit one in the preseason. That was it though. I hit one in the preseason.
Yeah, you're due, bro. You're definitely due.
I hit the Ravens because that was an easy one, but the one I was happy about was I hit Illinois to beat Nebraska early on in the season because I heard it on a podcast and I was like, you know what, I'll take it. Like this Saturday too, hey, and I'm fucked me, but I'm really liking them to win their game. It's just I may take the week off from NFL betting. I may just go college just because, look, it's a little more exciting and then there's more games to choose from. But we'll wait and see. Because, like, Saturday night, I'm telling you, man, I was fucking broken. And, like, I was – like, I know it was only $25, but at the same time, too, it was like you just sweat all this out. It's like when you're baseball and your team gets walked off for, like, game-winning touchdown. It's just, like, that deflating feeling where it's just, like – all that for nothing. Cause like literally it started at noon that day and went to like almost 12 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like I said, my best money line underdog this week is the Jaguars. So keep an eye out on them.
You know what? I like it. I'm going to give mine right now.
There's good value there.
I'm going to give an early one too. What the Ravens are pushing right now. Early one. I like Minnesota at a point. And then another one I like, give me the Cardinals because the Browns are favored by 2.5. I like the Cardinals there.
Yeah, I would take the Cards too.
Yeah, so the Cardinals and the Vikings are my early week six betting favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I would bet the Jags, but I'd consider taking the points for them.
I honestly think they get the win, man. I mean, they've been competitive. They were up on the Cardinals, and then they just shot themselves in the foot. I think they're going to be able to you know, take it to Miami, and they should have beat the Bengals too, honestly, on that Thursday night game.
They should have. They honestly should have.
So I think that's That's the bet this week.
That is, and I you know what? I think that's the podcast for this week. It's been a fun one, Danny. Getting you on here once again. I should get you on here more often on Mondays because the Patriots seem to win when you're on here. On
I'll see you in January then, if that's the case, or when they're out of it mathematically.
Oh, fuck off! Anyway, you know what? It's been a blast getting to talk to you once again. But we'll catch you folks later. And remember, folks, I'll be back here Friday. Bobby Gross making his return to YWC Football Talk. Have a good night, everyone.
Gross, wow.
Do, did, will. The Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.